This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on bio-E3 policy. The participants are Anil Razdan, energy expert, and Professor Govindarajan Padmanabhan, former director, Indian Institute of Science, Bengaluru, and Vigyan Ratna awardee. The moderator is Arjun Chaudhary, anchor.
Mr. Razdan, what is the bioeconomic policy and why has it gained importance now? It is seen as an industry which is $130 billion, which is liable to grow to $300 billion by the year 2030.
In my view, you see, when you talk of a bioeconomic policy, you're really discussing a policy where biosciences play a leading role. And biosciences, as you know, are the life sciences. Now, life sciences can be in the animal kingdom, they can also be in the plant kingdom. And an economy that is based on these products, which are nature's products, or for promoting greater productivity in plant life, or for improving human health, animal health, could even get on to genetic engineering at the end of it. Now, this is, I think, what is meant by a bioeconomy, as opposed to an economy that is based on, in the current context, fossil fuels, which have accumulated carbon in the environment, not been able to fix carbon to useful purposes, and that is causing global warming, and ultimately it is going to lead to a climate change and a lot of disruption in economic and agricultural activity across the globe. So when you talk of the bioeconomy, you are trying to work on that side of the economy, as I mentioned, where human welfare comes in, natural products come in, improving the yields of crops, improving the diversity of crops. If you have lesser water in a place, maybe lesser water consuming crops. And if global warming is going to go up in times to come, crops which can withstand the higher temperatures so that the food chain is not affected. At the same time, the industrial revolution and the kind of hydrocarbon-based economies that we have been pursuing, they have produced a lot of waste which we have been unable to utilize. And this waste, particularly say the plastic waste, is choking rivers, water bodies, even oceans, and is affecting marine life as well as human life. A city which cannot control its waste is not a regenerative city. It'll be a dying city. Like in Delhi today, the highest hills are the waste mountains of dump, which you have not been able to utilize those products. When you talk bioeconomy, I visualize that you will be using products which can go back to nature and regenerate to a useful form, like you were using, say, manures, the biofertilizer. It got back to nature as a nutrient, helped your food cycle. Then again, cattle consumed it. It came back into that form, but was again a manure and was utilized, like human waste even. Now, human waste can be put to proper use. But if you just dump it without utilizing it, you're only creating problems for future generations. You should be able to generate organisms which can eat into them so that human health is not affected. These kind of economies, I think, which we have to look at in the future, will not come immediately, may come gradually.
Professor Govindarajan Padmanabhanji, could you tell us, for the benefit of our listeners on Akashvani, what is a new bioeconomic policy and why is that so important in the context of industrialization today?
New policy is being referred to as bio-E3. E standing for economy, environment, employment. It becomes very important to change the chemical industry processes to bioprocesses where you can attempt at zero carbon emission. This becomes very important in the context of climate change and, you know, to reduce the harmful effects. We cannot be generating more carbon. Therefore, bioengineering processes, biomanufacturing processes become important because they are all carried out by microbial systems, essentially using fermentation methods. Therefore, it's a very important, I feel, strategy to switch over, to move over from chemical industries to bioindustries, be it manufacture of enzymes, manufacture of polymers, manufacturer of biotherapeutics, what we call as smart proteins in food processing, And, you know, there are many such advantages, essentially new manufacturing processes, basically, that's it.
So could you tell us how biomanufacturing is beneficial for making vaccines, especially in the post-COVID scenario? How important is that? You can also speak about the transitioning of chemical industry since you mentioned fermentation.
Yeah, it's a very important question. Vaccines are essentially proteins. So there are a few carbohydrates, but essentially vaccines are proteins. Therefore, proteins are rather complex molecules, long chain, with four amino acids, although the four amino acids are repeated in different orders. Therefore, a chemical manufacturing process is almost impossible at a protein level. Therefore, you need to resort to fermentation processes because you can provide the gene to the bacteria, for example, or to the yeast. They will convert it into the protein and make the protein either in the cell or secrete it. And we can isolate the protein. And vaccine manufacture becomes essentially that is the process. Even COVID vaccine, except there are newer type of vaccines that have come. mRNA vaccines you would have heard. Messenger RNA vaccines. These are RNA vaccines. For the first time in the history of mankind, mRNA and DNA have also become vaccines. You know, DNA vaccines are known, but only in the animal systems, but not in the human system. But during the COVID period, we had both mRNA, DNA vaccine, and of course, protein vaccine is a classical vaccine, and proteins being made by recombinant DNA methods.
Mr. Razan, so food security being one of the strategic objectives under this BIO-E3 policy, which stands for biotechnology for economy, employment and the environment, as you had just stated in longhand. But just coming to shorthand, the policy also, it seems, to motivate or incentivize businesses to contribute to the government's efforts, as you said, to bring employment to Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities, create a market for these products. How do you see the collaboration of startups, SMEs and established businesses being a part of this policy?
Capital has to be employed for promotion of any economic activity. And for promoting that economic activity, just as we did when we were industrializing, you have to create some hubs. I remember in North India, for particular industries, say in the city of Ludhiana, in Punjab, or in Pune, or in Bangalore, these initial hubs were created, or Hyderabad. So, in my view, if the government wants to promote these industries in the future, which are related to life sciences, you'll have to create those workplaces, which I think they would be probably calling them bio-based growth centers, let me put it that way.
They call it biomanufacturing hub, for instance, for vaccines.
That's right.
Or they call it bio-AI hub, where artificial intelligence plays a very important role. So how do you see these hubs actually come up and the financing for it, the kind of business interest required from venture capital or private equity, how do you see that picking up?
It has to be a package. Because first of all, there has to be technology facilitation of a very basic nature, so that new entrepreneurs, not necessarily the multinational types, those who wish to promote their own industry in that sphere, or I would say economic activity, are able to find a common service center or a facilitation center or a marketing center to begin with, so that they can find a place from where they can disperse their product, or a workplace where some technology tools are available, which they cannot afford to set up themselves, but which will facilitate the promotion of that particular industry in a particular direction. After all, that is what government can do, is to provide support. Providing an educational institution alone is not the be-all or end-all. After providing an education stream into that science or technology, one has to create a platform where an entrepreneur can come and seek the next stage of assistance before he or she graduates into a higher level to be able to establish a larger facility on his or her own. So this, I wouldn't even say hand-holding, it is a helping hand.
Facilitation centers.
Facilitation centers, precisely, which not only may provide facilitation for the manufacturing process, but also for a marketing hub. Because without a market, no product has economic value.
Professor, what about creating hubs which will facilitate manufacturing? And under the new bioeconomic policy, there is also the sensation of creating bio AI hubs, artificial intelligence hubs. How do you see that into advanced manufacturing?
The bio AI would become very important, because that would be used, that would be an approach to identify molecules, natural chain plants, plant proteins, chemicals in plants, chemicals in bacteria. So you can use AI methods to identify presence of such molecules in resources which are bio in nature, be it plants, be it microbial cells, and then one can go for this isolation of these proteins, which would be very, very useful therapeutically, nutritionally, and such methods. Yeah.
So effectively, we're talking about a subsidy, not just from the government, but how do you see businesses facilitate this as well, who are looking to promote new products in an established market, who already have a brand, who are recognized, who are able to not only tap the domestic market, but the export market as well. And they have to comply with regulation that is looking to tackle climate change and meet the net zero carbon emissions, leave a low carbon footprint.
The larger businesses, particularly with a global outreach, they have the tremendous advantage. Because any product needs marketing. And if you can get higher value at a place of consumption which can give you a higher product for that market, the big businesses are suited to find those markets and market the product. But for collection of their products, they may not be manufacturing everything themselves. They may be sourcing from smaller or medium-sized manufacturers who would be conforming to those quality standards. But those small or medium-sized manufacturers would need the support of government at these facilitation centers or marketing aggregation centers. Aggregation helps. Quality control helps. And involving the youth of the country, who may not have the means at that point of time when they're beginning business, helps. So they can be feeders to the large industry, large commercial establishments for those products which are the outcome of a bioeconomy. We're talking of consumption products. There's also, with the disease coming in, the disease control, a necessity, just as we've seen in the spread of some pandemics. You need vaccines, you need maybe other products. So all this will come in handy when you promote a bioeconomy. You don't have to import those products into the country. If you have a base within your own country, you can not only manufacture for yourself, you can in fact export. And India, with a burgeoning population, the most populous country today on the planet, needs every possible sector for expansion. And this sector particularly, the green sector, will I think need much greater encouragement than we have given so far.
We have international objective also of net zero carbon emissions. How do you see this, the bioeconomic policy, synced with our overall industrial policy so that we are able to achieve the net zero target?
Well, I am very happy that the Department of Biotechnology has taken it up as a priority. And therefore, biomanufacturing, instead of using alkali and acid and so on, we are thinking of using microbial cells to generate these products. This is already happening abroad, replacing chemical industry with bio industries. So that is a process that is already happening. We are trying to catch up.
Well, thank you so much, Anil Razdanji, Professor Govindarajan, Padmanabhan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on bio-ESG policy. The participants were Anil Razdan, energy expert, and Professor Govindarajan Padmanabhan, former director, Indian Institute of Science, Bengaluru, and Vigyan Ratna awardee. The moderator was Arjun Chaudhary, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.